The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's another edition of our program. Kip Kiefer, Carrie Quillian, ready to go and tell you everything you need to know. Carrie, how are you today?
Great, Kip. Doing well here. I think I have the question on my mind that now I'm actually seeing Democrat operatives and folks from the Washington Post and the New York Times posing. It's the question that no one was really willing to dare to touch before the last 72 hours. And that question revolves around what the heck is wrong with Joe Biden and who is actually running the country right now?
Yeah, if you caught our episode a couple of weeks ago, we touched on this and promised to get back to the second half of that discussion. We're going to do that today. Terry, to get into this, I kind of wanted to take advantage of your expertise on the subject because you worked in advance, which basically meant that you would go ahead of the president to a lot of the locations around the world, around the country, setting up every detail of what was going on for these presidential trips. And this last week's trips, you saw some pretty interesting anomalies on the junket to Israel and Saudi Arabia. And I just wanted you to highlight those just to kind of launch the subject here.
Well, it's obvious that the president is not actually running the country. One of the ways that that's very obvious is he once again, and this is so embarrassing when he does it on the world stage, he did the thing where he gives his remarks poorly, and then he turns to his left as he's being joined on stage, shake the hand of the individual walking up on stage, and then he turns to his right with his hand outstretched, and there's no one there. And he stands like that until being guided to where they're supposed to sit. I mean, this is unbelievable. And I can guarantee you that in no other administration has this happened. You are in the waiting area with the president before he steps on stage. He is told, here is what's going to happen. Here's who's going to be there. This has to mean that his memory cannot last even the 10 minutes of his remarks. I have never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and of course the remarks are all from teleprompter, which I will, it kind of amazes me in his cognitive state. He still can basically read from that, although he frequently loses his place. And if he gets in that territory, he's absolutely in deep water, because you brought up a point on the last program we talked about this, about how his wife is usually right at his side at the podium, which is, I mean, it's not even unusual. It's unprecedented. And I saw remarks on the 4th of July where he totally lost his place on what he was trying to read. And she basically shouldered him out of the way and finished the last two lines of the statement, which is just another indicator that, you know, we've got a lot of chefs in this kitchen, and the one who's supposed to be the main guy is hardly that.
Well, I think, Kip, that I don't need to beat a dead horse on all the things that show that Joe Biden has dementia. Now that we have prominent Democrats talking about it, now that the New York Times is questioning his ability to function as president, that's the death knell. Everybody knows it's out there. So the big question is, if we're going to accept that Joe Biden is not running this country, which he definitely is not, who exactly is? And I guess I would start with the people that are known. I love Donald Rumsfeld on knowns, unknowns, and unknown unknowns. Well, we've got some knowns here. And the knowns are the people that are unelected, but serving in the executive office of the president. And these are the people that you can see that are pulling the strings. And number one on that list for me would be Ron Klein, who is the White House chief of staff.
Definitely an Obama era holdover. And if you really start to do the analysis on who's surrounding the president, this is basically Barack Obama's third term. Is that an unfair statement?
No, that is a very fair statement. And part of that is just because Joe Biden served for 8 years in the Obama administration. So it would make some sense, regardless of his cognitive abilities, that there would be a lot of people from the Obama administration. To be fair, when George W. Bush became president, there were a number of people that he knew and trusted and who were very capable from his father's administration, who then took those slots in the George W. Bush administration. So this wouldn't be uncommon. I mean, Joe Biden is a political insider and he spent 8 years inside the Obama administration. So there you've got Ron Klein, who, for example, served as chief of staff going back to Al Gore. He specializes in vice presidents. He was the chief of staff for Al Gore. And then he was the chief of staff for Joe Biden. He helped Obama prep for the 2008 debates. And the most interesting experience, Kip, that he had under Obama, this is how you can really see the swamp rising up. Obama named him the Ebola response coordinator in 2014, when there's real concerns that Ebola was going to reach our shores. The thing that's interesting about that is that Ron has been a DC creature forever. He's a lobbyist and a political consultant. He was a registered lobbyist. He had absolutely no experience with Ebola and no experience in public health management whatsoever. So, you know, you can see his fingerprints everywhere. And Kip, my last point about Ron Klein that I think is really important for people to know, and that is that the chief of staff to President Biden has a personal net worth estimated to be in excess of $12 million.
Yeah, there you go. And that is the common thread that you can really weave through all of this. We talked about Susan Rice, the former chief advisor to Barack Obama, who's right back on the team in the Biden White House. She's got tens of millions of dollars net worth. Anita Dunn, one of my favorite representatives on the Obama staff. Do you know, Terry, that she has been involved in she has basically coordinated, from a communication standpoint, six Democrat presidential campaigns, has been a consultant with her own firm in Washington and on every Democrat administrative staff for 40 years. Now, how much of a fortune do you amass? She's married to a lawyer from Perkins Coie, which that's a familiar name if you follow any of this. They're always right in the middle of all litigation involving anything in kind of left-wing politics. But the bottom line is all of these people are absolutely profiting to just incredible levels. And it's something that it really kind of interests me that, we know about politicians getting handouts and checks from every direction, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry or what have you. But it's the bureaucrats that surround them. And here's the key word, Terry. These are the unelected officials that really are always in positions to wield incredible power.
Well, you mentioned, I know Anita Dunn is one of your favorites, and now she's back officially as part of the executive office of the president, as senior advisor to the president. She's always there in the shadows. But do you know what she said in her high school graduation speech before those 40 years of working in and out of Democrat politics, she talked about the two philosophers that influenced her life the most. One was Mother Teresa. Okay, fine. That's a good call, although very few people would call Mother Teresa a philosopher. But you know who her second choice was?
I'm afraid to ask.
Murderous Mao Zedong.
Oh, really?
So these are the things that get hidden, Kip. This is what her mindset and her agenda is. She's got the communist evil dictator Mao Zedong, and that's who's formed her philosophy. I don't think it's changed in the subsequent 40 years.
Well, Mao Zedong, and I know people certainly are familiar with him, but do just a little bit of research on Mao's transition to power in China and all the policies that were put into place and all of the political enemies that were eliminated. Mao is credited with being personally responsible for more deaths in that period in China than even Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler, which are some pretty prominent contenders for that title, probably the most murderous dictator in the history of the world.
Exactly. And that's who's formed her philosophy.
Unbelievable. Now,
Anita Dunn is a name that gets bounced around a lot. There is a guy that is a senior advisor to the president that doesn't get talked about much. And I think on that official staff, he is really the linchpin in a way, and that's Mike Donilon. And Mike Donilon has been, he's been a lobbyist at MCD Strategies, which is a communications consulting firm. I know that he made over $4 million there as managing director, but he has been an advisor and a consultant to Joe Biden since 1981. And the Washington Post describes him, quote, this to me is terrifying, as the conscience, alter ego, and shared brain of Joe Biden. Now, if there's anybody I don't want to be described as sharing a brain with right now, I would say it's Joe Biden. So that thought is terrifying. But, you know, the Washington Post, those folks on the left, they really are in the circle of the folks who know. And so here's a guy that I'm telling you, I believe 99 out of 100 people on the street, if you ask them, who is Mike Donilon? They have no idea.
No idea.
But there, he's been advising the president and has called his alter ego.
We are, you know, methodically kind of going through this and coming up with the de facto ruling class that is pulling the strings and making the decisions, because it's clearly not the man who was elected to that office. You sent me a fascinating story from a think tank that talked about, you know, we all know that we have three branches of government. We have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch. But most Americans don't realize, Terry, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but this study talked about the fourth branch of government, and their conclusion is, and it may be the most powerful of all of them, and it is the multitude, which may be as many as 2 million people that are involved in 439 bureaus and departments and agencies in the federal government. These are lifelong people that are in these bureaucratic positions, and all of them have this little corner of the world that they control. And, you know, it's funny, if you look at a lot of policies and decisions, a lot of it comes from these, again, agencies, departments, and bureaus by people that nobody's ever heard of.
Exactly. And those are the people that Donald Trump wanted to make it easier to eliminate with a Schedule F employees. Yeah. Because the problem is, once they're there, it's very difficult to get rid of them. And it's one of the things that Trump realized when he got there is that wanting to drain this swamp and actually being able to drain the swamp are two very different things. I think, Kip, in this administration, one of the things that's the scariest is that the person who seems to be the most on the inside is somebody that can never be fired. And that is the presidential spouse, the education PhD, Dr. Jill Biden. And I don't know, Kip, did you have a chance to hear her remarks this weekend?
Yeah, wow. I'm glad she went in there and repaired the damage to the Latino community. You talk about Joe stepping in it. My goodness, the good doctor really, really stumbled there. Basically, Terry, referring to, I guess, South Texas Latino individuals, basically as tacos.
Yes, which did not go off.
No.
It did not come off well. Then she got, I think she said a little bit too much, because in a subsequent interview where she's trying to clean up that mess, she created a whole other mess by giving us a window into what's going on, where she whined that Joe Biden wanted and hoped to do so much. And he had hoped to do so much, but then things just kept happening. And things kept happening. And well, of course, they happen to you when you're the leader of the free world. Things happen in the world. But then she talked about how she had had three priorities that she was going to work on as first lady. But you know what she said then, Kip? But I couldn't ever work on these things because things kept happening. And then I had to focus on that. What the heck? What first lady in history has ever had that kind of a role?
Well, the only one I can think of, I always go back to histories. This will be 10 seconds, but Edith Wilson, Woodrow Wilson in 2018 suffered a stroke, and she basically kept it secret. She signed papers. She reviewed materials. They kept Woodrow Wilson out of sight because he was basically bedridden the last 2 years of his administration. And there is precedent for this, because a lot of folks don't realize that Mrs. Woodrow Wilson, good old Edith, basically ran the country for a couple of years.
Wow, that is scary. And, you know, Edith might have been outed if there was a media around
exactly.
There is now. But it's amazing to me how few people call out Jill Biden's role in this. It was at a fundraiser for the DNC, where she whined about how he, quote, had so many hopes for the country that are now dashed by the reality that has set in. To me, anyone, first of all, who has a PhD and is not a medical doctor, who insists on being called doctor outside of an academic setting, that gives you a little insight into how they're wired. Right there, because I don't know. I have friends that are medical doctors who never refer to themselves as doctor when they are outside of their own practice. And I can tell you from working for George W. Bush and Donald Trump and Vice President Cheney and Vice President Pence, I have never seen a spouse standing beside her husband to sign bills, and at virtually every public event, with the exception of the times that he was in the Middle East, and that is absolutely not allowable. I've never seen this in history, Kip, ever, ever, ever.
We really don't have to make the case for the cognitive situation involving Joe Biden. It's clear to everyone, whether they're really paying attention or not. Terry, what is, real quick, like on this international trip to Israel and Saudi Arabia, where he's kind of spinning around aimlessly and stumbling and bumbling, what does that project to the rest of the world, to have the leader of the free world just be a feeble kind of shell of a person? And it's so glaringly obvious, it has to just send, and a lot of the things that are happening around the world now are, in my opinion, a direct result of them seeing this, you know, just acute weakness in the Oval Office.
You know, Kip, if our listeners want to see some really interesting footage, I would suggest that you go and Google Donald Trump arrives in Saudi Arabia, I believe it was 2017, and compare that with the video of Joe Biden arriving. You have never seen pomp and pageantry the way it was displayed for President Trump. And one of the reasons doesn't necessarily have to do with whether or not he was liked. He was feared. And he was seen as incredibly powerful in the Middle East. And all you have to do is look at that video to see the evidence of that, right? The Saudis are always going to be looking out for their own best interest. And it was in their best interest to give Donald J. Trump a hell of a welcome. Looking at the entrance of Joe Biden, oh my gosh, you know, I agree that the whole thing with the murder of the supposed journalist, I'm not in any way defending what MBS did. I do want to say that Khashoggi is not a journalist. He is a militant. He was a militant Islamist activist who occasionally wrote a piece or two for a U.S. newspaper. That would be like Kip, you writing an editorial or me writing an editorial and then claiming to be an American journalist. He really wasn't. That doesn't excuse his horrific murder. That had not happened. But one has to question whether that would have happened with Donald Trump in office in the United States on U.S. soil. I'm going to posit it would not have.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I'm glad that you stated that, because now you can't see Khashoggi's name without Khashoggi, comma, a journalist for the Washington Post. That leads you to believe that he was a staffer with the Washington Post out there beating the bushes for a story. That's not what this guy was at all.
No, this guy was not on the Washington Post payroll. That's one of the first things to check. And if that makes you a journalist, then all of DC is filled with journalists. Again, it does nothing to excuse what happened. But in terms of who's really running the show, I believe in the Middle East, the way the Saudis see it is no one.
Yes.
And the idea that we would be in a position to go begging Saudi Arabia for anything, Donald Trump left office and left the country with complete energy independence. We did not need the Middle Eastern oil. And more importantly, Europe did not have to depend on Russia for their fuel supplies. So these problems that Jill Biden, problems of the moment that she's whining about, are 100% of Joe Biden and his team of known and unknown assistants own makings and desires. All of it begins in 8 to 10.
Absolutely. It's a little bit off the path, but I'm just going to say it, because that whole trip to Saudi Arabia to implore them to produce more oil, it's shameful, because I'll name three areas: the offshore Gulf of Mexico, the Permian Basin, and Anwar region of Alaska are three of the most productive oil fields on Earth, and all of them are shut down now by executive order from our president. So, Terry, what is the difference between drilling here where we have an adequate supply and energy independence and the drilling being conducted in the Middle East? Aren't we still tainting the planet with any drilling? I mean, it really makes no sense.
Well, it does make sense, Kip, and this is a topic for another show, but it does make sense if you see that this is not an accident, that there is and we'll talk about this on a future show, there is an acknowledgement by the Biden White House that they have wanted high fuel prices because they want to drive people away from fossil fuel consumption. So we won't go down that road because we'll be there forever. I do have your favorite suspect in mind in terms of who's really living the show. We have, for the first time in modern history, an ex-president who from the day he left office continued to reside in Washington, D.C. You want to talk unprecedented? Barack Obama continuing to live in Washington, D.C., that's unprecedented.
Yeah, that's never happened in certainly my knowledge of presidential history. But yeah, there is no question that a lot of those shots are being called by the previous administration. Real quick, we only got about 3 minutes left. I wanted to mention, because if you're talking about the puppet masters, the progressive all-stars, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and my favorite guy, 92-year-old George Soros, are making just a tremendous amount of the decisions from the left field bleachers, including, I'll throw three names at you, Saleh Omarova, Gigi Sohn, and recently Nina Jankowicz, all were important appointees by Joe Biden. And all of them are extreme, extreme leftist individuals with long resumes. One was proposed, Omarova, a graduate of Moscow State, who wrote her dissertation on the evils of capitalism. She was proposed to be the currency comptroller. That's a real good mix in the banking industry. We've got Gigi Sohn, who's a lifer in Washington, who rails against conservative media outlets saying they should be banned. She was proposed to be the FCC chairman.
Recently,
Nina Jankowicz was going to be the head of the Department of Homeland Security's Committee on Misinformation, when she spent about 6 months going everywhere and completely touting the whole Russiagate situation for Donald Trump. So that's the ultimate misinformation, and she was going to be the czar of that. So all those appointments are coming directly from Bernie, Liz, and Georgie boy.
And I believe that people talk about how they have hijacked the Democratic Party, but it's not really a hijacking in that there seems to be the only two players that seem to be offering any resistance to this are Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. They're the only two that are fighting back because they both know that their voter base would not be supporting this. One more tidbit before we wrap up. If you wonder if Barack Obama stayed in D.C. to continue to have political influence, all you have to know that that's the case, is that guess who was living at the Obama household with them?
Oh, Valerie Jarrett.
Valerie Jarrett. I mean, this is less a household and more a compound of Democrat operatives that are right there. And I believe that ultimately you got George Soros and Barack Obama behind most of the moves going on in the Biden presidency.
If you tried to write a screenplay and make a movie out of this, it would be like a 40-hour epic, because that's how many stories and how many just quirks of, you know, different circumstances are involved. This is such a massive situation. We only had 30 minutes to talk about it. Once again, we just scratched the surface. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line, Terry, is, I mentioned this on the last program, that the Democrats now have adopted the tagline, a threat to our democracy. Having a president with no real authority, who's being pushed and pulled and manipulated by a whole bunch of behind the scenes unelected people, is the ultimate threat to our democracy.
Absolutely, Kip. I totally agree with you. And I believe that if the resumes and the backgrounds of those very important influencers who are actually dictating our policies now were known to the American public, they would be aghast. We had a poll that was done this weekend that showed that 76% of people who declare themselves as independents believe the country is on the wrong track.
Yes. That's an astounding figure. We've got to wrap it up, Terry. Thank you so much for all of your expertise. Love calling on your experience. You've been right there on the front lines, so you've got a unique perspective. I hope everybody learns a little bit of something from the show. We'll be back next week. So proud to be on Tony Curry Radio. And that's it for this week's edition of Need to Know. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.